I'm Jeff Booth, and this is The Big Picture here on The Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. Well, this is part two of our look at rape. In part one, I spent much more time than I thought I would on just the subject of one university where it's a huge problem. It's Michigan State. It's a nightmare. If you didn't listen to that, you should. But I should also point out, right here in Southern California, we've had huge scandals at both USC and UCLA. And it's a problem all over the country, and we could do a whole show just on that. I wasn't expecting to, but we'll probably need to go to just that in more depth. But this week, let's look at how we don't really take rape very seriously in the courts. And I'll say that it's the entire justice system that doesn't seem to take rape seriously. We know we've always had problems with cops not taking rape as seriously as they should. Not all of them, but some. But even when they do a diligent investigation and they collect a rape kit, in many places that rape kit will never be tested. There are a lot of rapists walking free today because their rape kit, the evidence against them, was never tested. And every time there's a failure to test a rape kit, that's a failure of justice and another crime against the victim. The Debbie Smith Act has been reauthorized in Congress several times, and it's designed to provide more funding for the issue of rape kits. But now it's all stuck up, caught up in the fact that, one, you've got a Senate that won't do anything. Now, a while ago, they did reauthorize the Debbie Smith funding, but now it's caught up in the House. They reauthorized back in April funding for the Debbie Smith Act, but it was part of the Violence Against Women Act, which the Senate, Republican senators, have blocked, along with virtually every other piece of legislation. And right now, our Senate is non-functional. It's run by Moscow Mitch, who seems to only be interested in getting Russian money for his state and preventing any bills from getting passed at all. The most do-nothing Senate in history, and his only focus has been on rushing through unqualified and incompetent judiciary picks who are extreme. That's a topic for maybe next week. But for now, as nothing happens, there's no money. It's not been authorized. So no support from the federal level, and federal funding is really needed because a lot of states and small areas just don't have the money to clear up their backlogs. And the problems are everywhere. Even here in California, they've just introduced Senate Bill 22, which would require that newly collected rape kits be submitted within 20 days and tested no later than 120 days after receipt. That bill really needs to pass. But then once you've gone through the whole process of investigating someone and getting them into court, then you got the problem of judges. We got a lot of judges who just do not take rape seriously. Just going to cite a few cases from this year. University of Florida senior Ian Malasky, accused of battery and false imprisonment. He sexually assaulted a fellow student, but the judge let him go on his own recognizance because, as the judge said, the assaulter was a high-achieving student. Sure, I guess if you consider raping someone an achievement. That one happened just this month. Then there's the family court judge in New Jersey. There was a teenager accused of raping an intoxicated girl and then sharing a video of the assault with friends. That judge ruled that the rapist deserved leniency because he came from a good family, was an Eagle Scout, and attended an excellent school. I would think all of those things would not be an excuse for being a rapist. But apparently to this judge, they are. It gets worse. This is Judge James Troiano of Superior Court. And he actually questioned the rape victim and her family as to whether they understood the devastating effect that pressing charges would have on the life of the accused rapist. Could it get worse? Yes, it does. The judge then argued that rape traditionally involved two or more males using a weapon to threaten a victim in an abandoned house, shed, or shack. He said those circumstances do not match this rapist's alleged crime. This judge should be removed from the bench, as should any judge that treats rape this lightly. Then there's Scott Sayer in Michigan. He raped a teenage girl with his friend, should have gotten life in prison. Instead, he pleaded no contest to fourth-degree criminal sexual conduct and got 4 years probation. Raped a teenage girl, 16 years old. The judge gave him probation. Oh, and he gave the girl methamphetamines before sexually assaulting her. Should have gone to prison for the rest of his life. No judge, no prosecutor should have that kind of discretion with such an egregious case. And time again, I read stories like this about judges doing just insane light sentences for rapists. But, you know, the fish rots from the head. And we saw the horrendous hearings in the Senate that attacked the victim and protected the accused sexual assaulter, who was then put on the Supreme Court, even though he lied and committed perjury multiple times. Those Senate hearings had a pretty much fuck-the-victim attitude, at least on the Republican side. And of course, it's those same Senate Republicans who will not allow the Violence Against Women Act to go through, especially Mitch McConnell, who won't let anything go through. I don't know why Massacre Mitch even draws a salary. He doesn't do anything. At least he doesn't do anything for the people that he's supposed to represent. And then there's this thing we've seen time and time again when a victim does come forward, whether it was with Bill Cosby or if it was Donald Trump, where the New York Times was forced to admit that they downplayed that story. But in any one of these, you see the trend of not believing the victim. And that not believing the victim does tremendous amounts of harm. And there's a new Netflix series, just brand new, called Unbelievable. And it's part of the Marshall Project and This American Life. You should watch it. If you don't have Netflix, go over to someone else's house and watch it. I mean, get permission first. The absolutely fantastic ProPublica teamed up with the Marshall Project back in 2015 to look at the issue of women not being believed and some of the horrible things that happened to them. For example, a young, very young girl was raped. She went to the police. They did not believe her. And then she was ultimately prosecuted as a juvenile for filing false information to the police. He then raped her again. That time she got photos and video evidence. Only then was he sentenced. People looking back at that case consider it just a total failure of the criminal justice system, but it fails women who were raped time and time again. The Netflix series is in 8 parts, and the original story on which this is based was won a Pulitzer Prize. So this is definitely something you should take a look at if this is a subject that you're interested in, want to know about, and can stomach, because it's tough. And I haven't seen it, because it doesn't premiere until the 13th. But I know what's in it, and I am going to watch it, and I think it's going to be tough to watch, but important. You would think that lawyers would be there to defend women who are raped, and many of them do, and do an excellent job. But some of them work on the opposite side, and they go way beyond the bounds of anything that should be acceptable when defending their client. And one of the worst cases is reported in Jody Cantor and Megan Toohey's new book, She Said, which chronicles the investigation of the Harvey Weinstein case. And he's a monster. He's terrible, awful human being. Unbelievable, the things that we are learning about him. He should be locked away and never see the sun again. But as I've said many, many times before, serial predators never do it on their own. They always have help. You know, with the universities, it's been protecting their athletes. With priests, it's been the church protecting its reputation. But there's always somebody who's helping when you get away with it for a long time. Otherwise, you wouldn't be getting away with it for so long. And in the book, She Said, one of the big villains is Lisa Bloom, a woman who is also the daughter of women's rights attorney Gloria Allred. There is no way that she could not have known that Harvey Weinstein was guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty. But she sent him a memo telling Weinstein that she felt, quote, equipped to help you against the roses of the world because I have represented so many of them. What did she offer in the memo? Well, essentially she said that she could befriend Rose McGowan and through that find ways to destroy her. You can find the memo online, and if you don't remember, it's Rose McGowan who helped really break the Weinstein story. It is worth a read in its monstrousness. Now we know that Harvey Weinstein stopped at nothing. He hired people to spy on the women who accused him. He tried to destroy their careers. He is just an absolute and total monster. But so are the people who enabled him.